Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This long ago was resolved. The great injustice, and Teak and I were the fuel behind getting Timmy Brown in the Hall of Fame, aside from the nearly 1,100 catches that he had in the NFL. But we are joined by Raiders legend, Notre Dame star, and Hall of Famer, nine-time Pro Bowler. The Raiders now in Vegas. Boy, it sounds odd, but it looks cool. We're talking about our buddy Tim Brown. Tim, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good to be with you.
Yep, good to have you back, Tim.
Yeah, no, it's been a while, but I hope that you've been staying safe and through all this craziness that's been going on across the world in many different ways, with first the coronavirus and obviously the social justice issues. But, you know, I want to start with, you know, obviously the Raiders are going to Las Vegas, and we know that there is a high degree of interest. But I'm curious because I can't figure out in my mind whether or not it's going to be this destination for opposing fans. BT tends to agree, tends to think, and I kind of agree, that Raiders fans are going to travel. So the Raiders fans are going to go there. But what's it going to be like for the opposing fans? Is this really the ideal location for the Raiders to be at?
You know, I think it will be eventually, man. You know, I think what has to happen is a team has to play great football, right? You know, I think if they play great football, then it's certainly going to be a destination spot, not only for Raider fans, but for the opposing fans also. So I think from that standpoint, you know Vegas is going to attract people, right? And you know the casinos are going to buy tickets, so I don't think the place will ever be empty. It's going to be a matter of, are you going to have fans in there, or are you going to have people who are in Vegas?
Yeah.
Happen to have a ticket to a game.
You know, well, that brings up an interesting point, though. Like, it's one thing to just have people who go because they're given tickets. Hey, good job. You wasted $200,000 on the craps table. Here's some tickets to the game, right? Are they going to actually enjoy it? Versus people who are really involved and integrated. And I think that the latter is likely going to be the case, because we saw this with the Las Vegas Knights, right? The Golden Knights, who went to the World the NHL Championship their first year. And so I think your thought about being good really matters. Are the Raiders positioned to do that, though, in their first season?
You know, I think so. I mean, I think they're positioned to be a good football team, no doubt about it. I think when you look at what happened last year, man, you know, Gruden was basically doing it with smoke and mirrors, and finally, you know, the last mirror that he had broke, and he just couldn't do it anymore, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. So when you don't have explosiveness on the offensive side of the ball, especially in today's football, man, you know, Gruden is really good at having these long touchdown drives, 7, 8, 9, 10 plays. But that doesn't help you when your defense is giving up touchdowns in two plays, you know what I mean? So I think from that standpoint, man, you know, he's in a position now where he feels if he has the players that can make things happen. And now these guys got to go out and play, right? I mean, they can look good on paper, but now they got to go out and play. And, you know, the Golden Knights certainly set a high bar. And I don't think anybody will sit here and tell you today that the Raiders are going to make it to the championship. But I think this is going to be a very competitive football team. And when you have the world champions in your division, you better be competitive. Otherwise, you're going to get embarrassed, like they have been the last couple of years by the Chiefs. So I think, you know that that's the expectation you have to rise to. You got those guys two times a year. You'll know right off the bat, you know, if you're up to their level or not. So I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, man. But I think, you know, finally Gruden feels as if he has the weapons to play in the league today. And we'll see what happens, man. Guys got to go out and play, though. That's going to be the most important thing.
Got to make it happen on the field. I got you. That's Tim Brown, Hall of Famer. 9 Pro Bowls, nearly 1,100 receptions. You know, Tim, I want to take you back to – I know that you and Teak touched on a few of the fan dynamic things, but I want to bring you back to when you went through the league out of Notre Dame, 88, your rookie season, you guys were obviously in L.A. at that point. And then you come back to Oakland in the mid-90s, so you kind of saw both sides. When you start with the Raiders in L.A., was there a lot of Oakland fans who were making that trip? And then when you went back to Oakland, and I know this is probably a lot to recall 30 years ago, but then when you went back to Oakland, did fans from L.A. eventually come in and take in games in Oakland?
Yeah, so when I first got there, the fan base was pretty divided, right? I mean, I think everybody was pretty upset, even though the Raiders had won a championship in 84. I went back one time, man, and looked at the attendance my rookie year to open a game.
Yep.
Now, remember, this was before they had converted the L.A. Coliseum. So at this point, it said 100,000 people. The opening day of the 88 season, there were 38,000 people in the stands.
Oh, my
and this
God.
Was the opening
wow.
day. This, wow. This is not, you know, week eight when yeah. you know, you're four, yeah. you know, you're 2-6 or something. This is opening day. There were 38,000 people. That was the attendance for the day. So
wait, Tim, so by the way, Tim, hold on. Tim, we have an old clip from that game. Hold on. 3rd and 7 over there. Tim Brown with the reception.
Right. Exactly. And, so I think, you know, what I realized really quickly was L.A. was a place that if you weren't one of the best in the league, you know, you weren't going to have any fan base. You know, they weren't going to come out and support you. 1990, we go 12-4, 11-5, or whatever, make it all the way to the AFC Championship game. The, you know, December games were incredible. You know, they were yeah. sold out the whole time. You know, so when we weren't a good football team, we didn't have people in the stands. Now, it was just the opposite in Oakland. When we got to Oakland, man, I can't remember one game in 96 on where we didn't have, you know, a full house. And now, you know, they even covered the top layer of the stadium. Well, when we were there, we were filling that top layer out also. So, you know, I mean, the fan base in Oakland is totally different than what was in L.A. And I think it's going to be a little different in Vegas, right? You know, you're going to have yeah. the L.A. fans more involved yeah. now because they're closer to Vegas than they were in Oakland. So they'll be able to make that drive over. Consequently, I think a lot of the Oakland fans, who are the real diehard guys, I believe, are going to be, you know, shut out because it's a longer drive, a flight, or whatever for these guys to make it over to Vegas.
Hmm. You know, you play with a lot of quarterbacks, some good, some not that good. You know quarterbacks. We know that, Tim. Derek Carr, we know he's talented, all right, but there's a level – I mean, everybody in the NFL is talented, so that's almost a ridiculous statement. But he's flashed sure. enough where – he's shown certainly a mild propensity to be the guy on more than one occasion. Are you sold, though, when the Raiders hit their apex, whether it's in 2 or 3 years or whenever it might be, that Derek Carr is still the quarterback? Are you sold on him? And keep it real. Are you sold on Derek Carr? I need the truth, Tim.
Hey, you know, I'll tell you exactly what I've been telling everybody else. I think this is a really, really big year for Derek Carr. I think that, you know, obviously they brought in Mariota to be the backup quarterback, and I think he's going to play in special situations, you know, run the ball, to do whatever. Gruden is going to definitely get him on the field. But, you know, this is a Heisman Trophy winner, a guy who has played at a high level for a long time and has some good years in the league. And, you know, and it's a perfect guy for Gruden to resurrect. So I think from that standpoint, you know, now Derek Carr has his speed guy. He has everybody on the offensive side of the ball that he can ask for. They're not going to be any excuses for him. You know, I think, you know, when Amari Cooper was there, they had some connections. And, you know, Amari was in and out, that kind of stuff. So it made it very tough. You know, not having a number one last year sort of gave him another excuse. But I don't think he has an excuse this year. I think, you know, he really has to go out and play at a high level. And there are certain things that he has to do with his game that I think is going to be is going to make a determination of what they do with him going forward. Because, I mean, you can get the ball to guys, but there are certain plays that you got to be able to make. Maybe, you know, if it's 3rd and 2, instead of trying to force the ball in there, run the ball and get the hard 2 yards and keep the drive going and let's keep moving. And he hasn't shown a propensity to do that over the years. But I just think, you know, they've set Derek up to succeed. And if he plays well, I think he'll be the quarterback there for the Raiders for a long, long time. If not, you know, I think there could be some changes after the season.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that as well. I mean, Marcus Mariota is not there for no reason. You know what I mean? He's an interesting backup. to say the least. Tim, let's move away from the Raiders and Pacific and just talk about the NFL in general. We all know what's been going on in this country with the coronavirus pandemic, and the NFL has been relatively lucky because they haven't had to deal with it. The one big issue was the draft, but they actually turned that into a positive and a huge success by giving all this access to the general managers and the head coaches. Hell, even the kids, like, seeing their homes, it was kind of cool. Like, mom and dad and everybody else that was surrounding them. Like, the one mom that was pulling the girlfriend off. Like, get off my boy, right? Like, this is his moment. Yeah. It was awesome, right? It was just fun, right, in a lot of ways. But the fun is going to come to an end at some point. And you're now starting to hear the league's doctor say, don't work out together because of a little bit of a spike in positive tests. How confident are you that the NFL is going to start on time? Because they're acting like this isn't going to affect them. It clearly is going to. But how confident are you?
Man, I really believe this is the answer that only God knows at this particular point, man, because, you know, I think, you know, the NFL has always been known for, you know, doing their own thing and, you know, and I don't want to say playing by their own rules, but this is really something where you can't play by your own rules, right? Because you're not so much concerned about the players getting sick, but if some of these older coaches get sick and you have a problem and somebody passes away, you'd never be able to live that down. I mean, from a media point of view, you'd never a media perspective point of view, you'll never be able to live that down. So I think that's what they have to be more cognizant of, more so than the players. These young, you know, athletes, man, you know, I mean, they'll be able to fight this thing off for the most part. Now, what I'm hearing, I heard something today that really, you know, sort of freaked me out because my daughter contracted the virus back in March, man, and she dealt with it for seven weeks.
Wow. She's okay now, though, Tim, right? She's okay.
Yeah, she's fine. Okay, thank God. Yeah, she's fine. But what we're hearing now is, you know, even though you may be young, this thing could leave a scar on your lungs, man, that could affect you when you're older.
I know.
You know, so, I mean, and I think that's something that all these young folks have to be, you know, very aware of is, you know, you may be able to fight this thing off, but, you know, 20 years from now, you know, you could see the effects of having the disease. So, but, you know, I think the NFL has to be careful, man. You know, I think, again, you want to be there for the country. You want to give them an outlet. I can remember going through 9/11. And having a conversation with all the NFL player reps around the country, around the league, and our whole thing was we wanted to give the country an outlet and a break from what was happening, and so we made decisions based on that for the most part. So, but this is different, man, because if one of these young guys give it to one of these older coaches, and there's a major problem there, the league will never, ever be able to live that down.
That's true. It's Tim Brown with us, Hall of Fame wide receiver. All right, so let me throw a little trivia at you here. But it's trivia about you, Tim, so you should be able to answer this. You ready? See, you played a long time. Name five quarterbacks. You played from 88 through 03. Name at least five quarterbacks that you caught balls from. Go.
Oh, man. Jeff George, Jeff Hostetler, Steve Berline, Vince Evans. Rodney Pete, Wade Wilson.
What about Rich Gannon? He won the MVP.
Rich Gannon. He was going to be my. That was five or six. Was that five?
No, that was six,
seven, maybe.
That was actually seven. I think it was seven.
Goes with Jeff George first. Jeff George, huh?
Jeff George is the man.
Everybody couldn't stand Jeff George.
Look, I tell people all the time, I never caught a better ball from anybody in the league, and that includes, you know, the Pro Bowl quarterbacks I played with throughout my year. So this guy was the most accurate quarterback I had ever seen in my life and ever played with. And, you know, unfortunately, we only had like a year and a half together. But the full year I had with him, I, you know, caught 104 balls, so almost 1,500 yards. So.
Yeah, that's why he's number one on your mind.
Keep it a rock.
Exactly.
You were with Marinovich for a minute, right?
Yes, Todd, yes.
Was he really, really talented? We all know his story with his dad, but when you first saw him play, were you like, this guy is legit or this guy is kind of a fabrication of the media? Did he have the goods?
Unbelievably legit.
Wow.
Unbelievably legit. I mean, this guy, I mean, was an incredible, instinctive quarterback. I mean, he had a great touch, had enough power in his arm to zing the ball there when he need to do it. Threw the best deep ball that you could ever ask for. Mm-hmm. And he had all the tools, man. And had a little bit enough mobility to be able to move around and make passes on the run too, make throws on the run too. So
okay.
I don't think I, you know, out of all the disappointing, you know, guys I've seen, you know, situations I should say that came to the league during my time, I don't think there's one more disappointing for him more than for the Raiders. Than Todd Marinovich. I mean, he just had it all, man, and just couldn't fight the demons that were, you know, pulling him out, you know, to party all night and do all those other crazy things, man. Mm. And this is a guy that if he had a great friend back in the day, would have played 10, 12, 15 years in the NFL without any problem.
Yeah, wow. No, sometimes it takes that. You got to have somebody to snatch you back into reality, and sometimes that doesn't happen. All right, American Century Golf at Lake Tahoe. It's coming up on July 10th through 12th. How good is your golf game right now? Tell us a little bit about this event. It's amazing. Oh, it's still on right now, despite what's going on in this country. It's still on. So, but tell us a little bit about this event.
Yeah, well, people are not tuning in to see Tim Brown play, that's for sure. But but you have some of the best, you know, celebrity golfers in the game, man. John Smoltz, obviously Tony Romo has won it for a couple years. You have Steph Curry, who's going to be there, who is an incredible golfer, by the way. I don't know if people realize that.
He's great.
But I think he finished in third place a couple years ago in this event. So, but this year is going to be a little different. You know, usually guys get a purse, you know, depends on where you finish an event. But this year, all the proceeds will be going to local charities and some social justice foundations and, you know, some American Century charities also. So this will be the first year. I mean, I've been playing it since 98.
Wow.
This will be the first year that all the money is going to go to charity. All the guys have decided to donate the money. There will be no fans this year. Not even your family members are going to be able to walk the course. So this is something that's really been – it's a glorified nonprofit event, man, for charity. Mm. And, you know, you got 84 athletes, I think, are going to be there. So it's going to be an incredible, incredible time.
Well, listen, just do what I do when you get on the first tee. Knock back a shot. Get rid of the nerves.
Transfusions. Give me a transfusion.
Tim, it's always great having you on. Hall of Famer, Tim Brown, class act, and hit him straight. If you can't hit him straight, hit him often. Have a good time.
Hit him often.
Yeah, that's what we say.
Hey,
thanks a lot, Timmy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.